Do you remember what it was like to learn English? You know, it's an extraordinary thing that little children, you know, begin this process of understanding language. I mean, to my mind, there are at least four different components to learning and communicating in a language. First, it's the hearing these sounds and associating and connecting these bizarre sounds to physical objects or concepts or realities out in the world. So making that connection. And then being able to speak and to begin to say these same sounds and to speak them and to know that this particular sound has a connection in the real world. And then, of course, we begin to see these symbols and things around us and to begin to associate these strange marks with letters and then with words and to be able to make sense of that and then to be able to write them out and to be able to communicate with someone, you know, across cyberspace, across the other side of the room. These things of laws and rules of understanding a language are crucial for being able to move into that experience. I mean, for most of us, you know, that happened when we were mere infants and we didn't know all of the rules, all of the requirements of grammar. Perhaps you've attempted to learn another language, or perhaps you've come from a country where English was a second or third language for you. And so you had to understand some of those rules of grammar and construction in order to be able to enter into that experience of communicating. You know, some of those rules are still there and they're helpful for us. You know, I don't know about you, but you know, when I'm trying to find someone's name on the list, you know, I'm still kind of running through the alphabet song in my head, you know, A, B, C, D, like just thinking, you know, where is that letter in the sequence? Or I'm kind of, you know, when I try to remember how many days are in a particular month, you know, that little saying that I learned in primary school, 30 days has September, April, June, and November, all the rest. You know, we these things just get stuck in our heads and we're able to understand the reality of the world because these little sayings are there. I think Paul is doing something similar in this second reading today. We know from Acts 17 that Paul went to Thessalonica only very briefly. Acts 17 says that he was there for just three Sabbaths, and he preached on each of these three Sabbaths until a group of people who weren't in favor of Paul preaching and trying to bring the message of salvation to people outside of Judaism. And so they organized a rabble and went against Paul and drove him first out of the town. And he went to a nearby town and continued to preach there. But then they got a larger group of people and they reported him to the Roman authorities, saying that he was preaching against the Caesar by saying that Jesus is the Lord, not Caesar. And so he was driven even further out of the region. Now Paul, even though he'd only been in this community very briefly, he fell in love with this community. He had this whole sense of this community needs his support, and he desperately wanted to go back and to continue that process of teaching. But he'd heard reports that the Romans had begun to kill people within that community, and so it wasn't safe for him to go back. And so instead, he writes a letter. The first of the letters that he wrote, so this first letter to the Thessalonians is the very first of the letters of Paul. Only five chapters, very easy to understand. And so we punctuated between it at the beginning and at the end in the middle are these prayers. And so we get part of that third prayer today. And there's a series of eight little short pithy statements that really capture so much of the essence of what it is to be a follower of Jesus. So the first of these is the one that gives the name to this Sunday. Rejoice always. We call this Sunday Gaudete because it's about rejoicing. It's about the need to have joy. So often we get caught up in the realities of our lives, and particularly I think at this time of the year when so much pressure is put upon us to get all these things done and to see all these people and to take part in all these different Christmas and Advent, well, usually Christmas, end of year events. And so to just find that space to delight, to rejoice, to find joy in the present world. So it's crucial for us to do that. How do we do that? The two things he gives to offer a way of understanding that. Pray without ceasing,
and give thanks. Have gratitude as that sense of a way to find that joy, to find that delight in God.
Just to always pray, to have that sense of connection. You know, we need to pray, not because, you know, God needs to hear our prayers, but we need to find that space just to rest in the presence of God. And I know right now that I need that desperately to be in my life. Then there are two sayings about the whole sense of how the Spirit works. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets. You know, so often there are these new voices and we resist that. You know, we want to keep doing things the way that we've always done them. You know, that voice has been such a constant thing within any community, not just, you know, the Catholic Church, but it's just part of the nature of being human. You know, once we get used to something, we want to keep doing it that way. But life is always dynamic. Life is always changing. And so there will be these prophetic voices that are in our church, and we need to listen to those. We need to allow them to really call us into a deeper sense of truth. But then he says, these final three sayings, test everything. You know, we need to discern. We need to trust and to really have that sense. This is up to me and in my own conscience to be able to find that power, to see what God is calling me to do. What is the church tradition inviting me to do? And how am I going to apply that for my life? And when I find those things that are good, he says, hold fast. You know, grab them with both hands. Hold tightly onto that person. You know, whether that will be the partner that you fall in love with or have fallen in love with, that sense of just holding on to that and to treasure these gifts. But when there are things that aren't good, that aren't helpful, that don't allow us to experience that fullness of life, release them. Abstain from every form of evil. And then the final prayer that concludes with this beautiful line, the one who calls you is faithful and he will do this. So knowing that, you know, God has got this. God has continued to do this work in us, and he will continue to do this work in us. So during this season, as we place ourselves deeply in the trust of our God, as we allow that word to continue to form us and shape us, let's allow ourselves to find that delight in God and to allow God to delight in us.